We read from the Word of God now from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 9. It is my mistake that it was 29 in the bulletin and probably on the board. Chapter 9, Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah initially in this chapter expresses his tremendous sorrow at the sins that he finds in Israel. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one, of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit, and one speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beasts are fled. They are gone, and I will make Jerusalem heaps, and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that can understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth, and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through? And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after their imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste, and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, let your ear receive the word out of my mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and everyone his neighbor lamentation, for death has come up into our windows, and is entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvest man, and none shall gather. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah, and Edom, and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. So far we read from God's Word. Those verses 23 and 24 are what lead us and guide us this morning. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Lord's Day 47, which is the first petition. Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. The first petition, that can mean that it is the first thing that we're going to pray. But more importantly, that this is the first petition teaches us that throughout the whole of our prayer, this idea is to have primacy. It is to be the first thing that we think of and that which we have behind every petition. That's why that the whole of our lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, everything has this in mind. Namely, that God's name be hallowed. We want to look at just what that is. Often, when we think of God's name, we think of the proper names that the Bible gives us to use for Him, like God, or Jehovah, or Lord. But the meaning of the word name is really broader than that. And it refers to God's revealing, the revelation that He makes of Himself. His name is given. He does reveal something of Himself in the proper names and in the titles. But He is revealing Himself in so many other ways as well. And those are all His name. Now there's a presupposition that we have to consider first when we want to look at the meaning of this petition. And that's this. We have to start out any consideration of God with this admission, that He is so beyond us so majestic and so full of glory and holiness that He is unknowable to His creatures. Unknowable. When old theologian described God as the holy other, completely other than anything we creatures can conceive of. He's so beyond. Transcendent is the word that we use to describe Him. That's an attribute of God that's incommunicable. We don't have any kind of that. He transcends everything. And therefore is not knowable to any of His creatures. And He cannot be except He reveals Himself, makes Himself known, shows Himself in a way that He knows His creatures can understand. God truly teaches us what communication is. It's not only saying something, but it's saying it in a way that the objects to whom He's speaking can understand it. God does that. That's His name. Now that's an act of condescension. He has to come down. So majestic, He has to come down to our level to communicate to us in a way that we can receive it. Now that's true of Adam. Not us who are sinners. That was true even and maybe especially for Adam in the garden. God was so great that Adam had to be gifted with the ability. And God had to condescend to speak in a way that Adam could receive what God was communicating. So first of all, God is unknowable except to reveal Himself. But secondly, everything that God reveals has this purpose, that the reception of that knowledge of Him be received in such a way that the response is thanks and praise. He condescends, lets us get to know Him, but He does it not just so that it ends in us, so like it's a ray of sun that comes down and we absorb it and it's all swallowed up and gone because it ends in us. But He wants us to be mirrors. He reveals Himself in such a way that we reflect back to Him in praise and thanks. God's revelation, His name, that's what His name is, every revelation that God gives surrounds us. It's everywhere. It's all the time. God's name is everywhere. First, He spoke in language that we can understand in creation. His creative word. He reveals Himself in the realm of creation. We can see something of His greatness when you stand before the majesty of the mountains, before a Grand Canyon, the sunrise, or a sunset, the blossom of a little flower. God reveals Himself and He is speaking in all of creation. Psalm 75, verse 1, puts it this way. Unto Thee do we give thanks. Unto Thee do we give thanks. For that Thy name is near, Thy wondrous works declare. That Thy name is near, Thy wondrous works declare. God reveals Himself in creation. He reveals Himself even more in the Scriptures. Because in the Scriptures, we get a much clearer revelation. He tells us about Himself. How many times just in this chapter that we read did we hear Him say, "Thus saith the Lord"? He's speaking. He's revealing Himself in His speech. He reveals His plans. He reveals why He's going to do what He's going to do. He reveals His secrets. He declares His love. He speaks of His beauty and His power. And it is primarily in His Word that the knowledge of God is given. We get to know about Him through His Word better than in the creation. In fact, the Scriptures, the revelation He gives of Himself in the Scriptures, is, as it were, the glasses that we need to be able to see Him and hear Him in the realm of all of creation. Should have said this. It's not just in the creation, but in all of the events that take place. We believe that He sits enthroned and that He providentially sustains and governs everything that He created. He upholds it by the word of His power, and He is executing His will throughout all of creation. In the fall of a leaf, in the cut of a blade of grass, in the death of a bird or of a rabbit, or a deer, in everything, in the governments of the land, in the way the economy goes, in the drop of a rain, everything, God is performing His Word. And He's speaking, and He's revealing Himself. There's so many things that we could say about God's revelation in creation. God's Word helps us understand that. Thirdly, God reveals Himself and speaks to us in Jesus. Jesus is the perfect revelation of the Father. In Hebrews chapter 1, He speaks of Himself that way. God in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom He made the worlds, who is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, which He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. That's why when we get to heaven, the invisible God who is His Spirit is not going to be seen by us, even when we are in our glorified human natures. But we will see God in Jesus Christ. Jesus will be there, possessing a human nature that's heavenly and glorified. And in Him, in His face, we will behold the majesty and the glory of God. God reveals Himself in Jesus. God reveals Himself in the preaching of the pure doctrines of the gospel. There's the name of God. God's name is surrounding you. Do you hear Him? Do you see Him? Now, one other thing about that name. For us to be able to say, "Hallowed be Thy name," in our lives and in all the world, it requires some work of God in us. When God was unknowable to Adam, except He revealed Himself, ever since the fall into sin, that would be especially the case. Because man is blinded, and the carnal mind is at enmity against God. Romans chapter 1 speaks of that natural blindness of man. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Man is blind. That's why when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, first thing He said, Nicodemus said, "I am confused. I know that you must come from God because of the way you just cleansed the temple. But that doesn't fit my understanding of what someone who comes from God is supposed to do. Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher from God. No man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him." So Jesus, getting right to the point, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He can't see God. Here's the point. God gives us the gift of faith. Faith. Faith is that which sinners need in order to see, put that word "see" in quotes, God. Faith is that which we need. Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But also, it is by faith that we understand God and His creation. It's by faith that we see the need for an offering like Abel. It's by faith that we know how we should walk and live in this earth with God. By faith, it's how we can do all the things that those saints of old could do. They heard and received God's revelation. They could perceive it and grasp it, and they learned to love it by faith. Faith is to be worked in our hearts for us to be able to say, "Our Father, hallowed be Thy name." Okay, if that's the name, and faith is needed to do it, what are we requesting? What does Jesus want us to learn first to ask and always to keep in mind? Hallowed be Thy name. If to hallow is to recognize something to be holy, uncommon, unusual, not normal, special. If hallowed is to recognize something to be holy, to be revered and admired, then this petition is our asking, "Father, so work in us by thy Holy Spirit, that the revelation that thou art giving of thyself constantly is recognized in my soul and in my conscious mind, so that I recognize the revelation. Another way to say it, so that I can hear God speak. So that I can hear His speech in everything. When the sun shines brightly, it's cloudy. When food tastes delicious, when the palate just can't take it, when we're full of strength, when we've got something, a portion of our body that really aches and hurts and gives stabs of pain. When something wonderful happens, a birth, a win, when we're saddened, frustrated, when we hurt, we're listening. We're aware that God is revealing Himself. And we're hearing Him. But we're hearing Him not by getting frustrated, not by damning Him, not by cursing, but by taking that revelation that He's given of Himself. And we take it and we elevate it and we honor it. And we're awed. That He would speak. That He would speak even to me. That He would still be willing to speak to me. In spite of everything that I've done and am doing. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15, Moses has a song at the shores of the Red Sea. Who is like unto thee, O Jehovah, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like unto thee? That amazement of the revelation of God that Moses and the children of Israel saw when their enemy was drowned in the Red Sea evoked from him so much praise that he couldn't just say it in an objective declarative statement. But he states it in a rhetorical question because the answer is so powerful, so great. No movie can do it. No movie is going to help you understand and hear God not like what he did, and what you by faith can grasp when you read about that Exodus. Because this is how it has to end. O Lord, who is like unto Thee? Glorious in holiness. Fearful, awesome in praises. Doing wonders. Those that John saw gathered around the throne made him say something similar in Revelation 4 verse 8 to what Isaiah saw when he had his vision and was called to serve God as a prophet. And the four beasts, and each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night. They rested not day and night, saying they never could be shut up. There was nothing that ever made them hesitate to say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they never stopped saying it. And they're still saying it. And the honor and the privilege that's given to us is that we are allowed to join them when we're delivered from the body of this death. And join in that praise. Fearful in praises. Now, hallowed be thy name. Jesus says the first thing when you come to the awareness that this awesome God is your Father. Perfect Father. So far above any earthly picture of fatherhood. A perfect Father. He's your Father. Now, this is how you must think of Him. That you take the revelation that He gives Himself as a Father, as a Savior, as a Judge, as holy, as eternal, and you take all of those perfections that are His, and you lift them up so high that you forget yourself. Maybe a better way to say it is that you take all your joys and all your hardships and all your crosses and all your difficulties and all your sins and all your frustrations and you take them all, but you put them in the light of that majesty. And you start by saying, I know Him. I don't just know about Him. I know Him. He's given me the ability to know Him. And I love Him. But while I know Him and love Him, I know that I don't know Him yet as I'm going to know Him. And I don't know anything yet as I ought to know it. So I take what He's given me and I delight in it and I rejoice in it. And I'm able to take my frustrations and my pains and my sorrows and my difficulties, as hard as they are, but I'm going to put them in the light of that majesty and say, God is God and He is good. And He's good to me. Good to us. Why? Because His mercy, His desire to bless us miserable creatures, endures forever. Without ending. So we pray, by Thy Spirit, move our sluggish and slow minds and our selfish, self-centered hearts so that we bow. Remove my self-centeredness so that I bow willingly and rejoice in God greatly, so that I don't take my problems and my difficulties and myself and my joys and what I know and make it higher. But I make that knowledge that He's given of Himself, to me of Himself, so majestic that I take what I have and I put it in the right spot, humbly. So we get up on Sunday morning to do what? What was your morning like? Same old. Got the routine down. Maybe even had some nice music. There were times we forgot to listen to what was being sung. Because we were wondering what we were going to wear. What will people think? How can I show myself this morning? I'm going to earrings and... Who is like unto Jehovah our God? Hallowed be Thy name, O Father, work in this slow, sluggish, self-centered heart and mind so that I know how great Thou art. Work in us so that we sing with understanding, so that we joy in Thy mercy and in Thy faithfulness. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. But that starts by our saying, may Thy name, may the revelation that Thou givest of Thyself never be blasphemed on account of my thoughts, words, and actions, so that how I do my work and how I play my games, and sometimes it's the games that are the hardest to hallow His name. That we get a focus in everything we do. And it's all about Him, not about us. So we're able to look up and see. And see what He thinks of us. All that majesty, all that greatness inspires an awe in us. So this is not a common revelation. This is not a common name. So that we can't say Father or God or Lord. But we take that revelation and all the titles and all the names that He's given to Himself, and we use them and we take them on our lips with care. The Son that cursed Jehovah in the days of Moses was worthy of being stoned. There was no way He could be covered with a sacrifice. He was worthy of punishment immediately. Now listen to our talk. No, no, no. not what only comes out of our lips. Listen to the talk that comes out of our heads, what the thoughts that we're thinking, and set them out in front of Him. How would they fare? That's why this is the first petition. Before we're even going to get started in all the rest of the Lord's Prayer, He wants us to say, "Work in me, Father, by the power of that irresistible Spirit, so that the awesomeness that's Thine so fills me, so that I am able now in the rest of this prayer to remember, let God be God." Let me be aware, and this is the third commandment, and we say this very briefly because it wasn't that long ago that we dealt with the third, that we carry that name. He lays that name on us. You have it as clearly on your foreheads as if the baptism water would be like a crown on your head. And everybody who looks at you can see you are a Christian. You've got the name of God and Christ on you. Really? You're a Christian? And you act that way? Let His name never be blasphemed by my thoughts, words, and actions. That's our prayer. Now the reason and the attitude takes us right back to the beginning. Jesus wants us to pray this first. Why? So that His transcendent glory, which makes Him so worthy of all of our thoughts and praise, is before our consciousness. At the beginning of a prayer, behind every petition, and behind the whole of our life. You know how Romans 11 ends? Of Him, to Him, through Him be all things, to whom be glory. Because all things are of Him and by Him, all things are to be referred back to Him. The very purpose that God has for saving us is that we might be the instruments with which to praise Him. Isaiah 43, verse 21. Above all the people of the earth, His people, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So that we who are called out of darkness into His marvelous light might show forth the praises of Him who has called us, so that others who behold us may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now watch what you think. Your first reactions, your second reaction, your third and your fourth and your fifth, when God gifts you with the ability to do something right and good and in the eyes of men, great. You did something fantastic. God gave you the ability to do something absolutely fantastic. You taught a great class. You did a wonderful job at that work. Who gets the glory? Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, not unto us, but to Thee be glory given. He saved me and gifted me with the ability to do something right. It is so that all the praise may be His. So that nothing that He gives me stays in me, but is reflected back to Him. Oh Lord, make me a mirror. Not a dull one, not a dirty one, not a cracked one, not a tarnished one, but a mirror that's clean and clear and gives back all to Thee. Hallowed be Thy name. Now Jesus says when you pray, this is foremost, this is first, this is to be your greatest desire. This is what you're to think about when you get up in the morning. This is what you have to pray before you do a job or play a game or whatever it is. May it be the consciousness that you have before every duty that you do. My desire is that not unto me, but unto Thee be all the glory. That I desire nothing more earnestly. May I be miserable in my selfishness unless I glorify Him. That I see the glory of His holiness. That I rejoice and glorify Him forever. Some of you have learned to take Psalm 63 and Psalter number 163 and say, that's one of my favorites. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek Thy face. Within Thy house once more to see Thy glorious grace. Apart from Thee, I long and thirst. And nothing, nothing can satisfy. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless Thee while I live and lift my prayer to Thee. In Thee, my soul is satisfied. In Thee, my soul is satisfied. Lord, if I had this, then I'd be happy. If I could be able to do that, then I'd be content. Then I wouldn't be frustrated. Then I wouldn't think my life is naught in vain. No, no. In Thee, my soul is satisfied. So simple. Six little words. In Thee, my soul is satisfied. My darkness is turned to light. Pray it. Don't wait to feel. And then pray it. Pray it until you feel it. And believe it. And live it. So you know how often we're going to do it? Till I die. In Thee, my soul is satisfied. Amen. Almighty God, Thy lofty throne has justice for its cornerstone. And shining bright before Thy face are truth and love. And marvelous grace. Work thou that attitude in us. Not just now, not just here, but in a couple of minutes when we're in the car in the house together, when we lay ourselves down to take a nap, when we rise up again to come to praise thy name, when we prepare ourselves for the rest of the week, when we think about what's going to happen, when we think back on what has happened. In thee, may our souls be satisfied. Amen.